Wednesday the 23rd of July, Kof Tammuz, Rabbi Shaul Dollinger, in Yonei Ben Hametzolim.
First, I want to thank very much the organizers and this tearaway and this Kiddush Hashem. It's unbelievable. The Nora Oilam comes first thing in the morning after davening to hear the Torah. That's the emissary, that's the real tearaway of Eid to start off the day with Ruchnias. And the Shem Hashpoah the whole day. So you all look at we're thinking about this is a Tkufa from Ben Amtsorim between Shilosa B'Tamas and Tisha B'Av. Someone once in the Yeshiva Be'as in Eretz Yisrael, he made a note that it's interesting, we were speaking about before to what you did, that between the Sphira So Omer, there's 7 weeks of Sphira. And now we have 3 weeks of Avelis between Shilosa B'Tamas and Tisha B'Av. So together we're talking about 10 weeks. 10 weeks a year, a yid has to have certain minhagim from Avelis. 10 weeks, we're close to 20%. 20% of our lives, a yid has to be in a certain aspect of Avelis. And if you take away and say the Sphira is not really 7 weeks, it's only 33 days, but Vinishvi comes out, if you take a cheshem, you take a Shabbat and Yom Tov from both sides, it comes out between 15 and 17 and 18% of our lives. There is a need to behave in a veilistic oifim. Certain things are sometimes it's more chomer, like we have the days nafkimin everything to 3 weeks and the shua shechal batishuvah and so on. But that's not the point. The point is that the Torah is telling it is at least maybe not a red light, but at least a yellow light that tells a person to think. We have to have an avelus in the chut mabayis. It's avelus because of tamidei Rabbi Akiva and so on. All the different chazalim and the different discussions and the different medrashim. But the ultimate idea is that the yid has to always have this point that he has to behave be avelus a certain amount of the time of his life. It's amazing. And the way what comes out is the message is that a person's life depends on priorities. This is to know where his priorities are. And this is where every time when someone is kenne gedacht, it shouldn't happen to anybody, but in the Tkufa from Avelis, a person sometimes thinks when he knows that everything else in life is so, it has no value actually, and it has no future, it's uneternal. So a person thinks, what is priorities in life? And this is what all this has to tell us. We have to decide what the priorities are. And what are the priorities of my Yiddish person? Is to know that he has to live a Torah way type of life. And the Torah way type of life is decided by whom? Who tells us our priorities in life? There's such confusion in life. There's such confusion to things what to do. The way the person, the people who decide our priorities is the Torah and Chazal. And we'll try to bring a few medrashim. The medrash in Parshas Chukat, the medrash says, Chukot Chokakti Gzera Gozarti. And the Chazal, the Medrash brings out the interesting, the paradox. Avraham Avinu came from Terach, and so on and so forth. And it goes into explain why the Porah Aduma was the paradox in Porah Aduma. That Porah Aduma has the power to be Metayer, somebody that was Tomei Meis, and yet the one that was Metapa with the Porah Aduma, he becomes Tomei. It's a paradox. How could you understand such a thing? The same Koyach that's Metayer, how could the same Koyach be Metamei? That's what the Rebbein Shimon said. That's the way it is. That's the way, the Torah way of living is something that we don't understand. But we just have to follow the way of the Torah. And therefore the Medrash goes on to say an interesting episode. David HaMelech, which was the leader from Kalisha, from all the history, in his time, in the war, soldiers, they went to war. And David HaMelech, the Medrash says, was mispalo. He davened for them, for their safety, their security. And who more than David HaMelech knew? We know today when we ask Chas V'Shalom, there's a problem, there's a crisis, the first thing we do is Tillim. Who's Tillim? David HaMelech, Tillim. If someone is a Sivu Le'aleinu, if it's a Psoin Klavi, so we run to David HaMelech and we daven with David HaMelech, Sukkim. And he is David HaMelech himself, the author of Tillim, and he's praying for his students, he's praying for his Talmidim, he's praying for his youth in this generation. They all died in the wars. Why? Took the Medrash, Adidei Shehoye Bohem Dal Tayyim. They used to speak Lashahara one against the other. They were Tzadikim, they were Tamid Chachomim, the Medrash says. They were Tamid Chachomim, there was never in history. They knew how to explain every part of the Torah, 49 ways Tomei, 49 ways Torah. Givaldik Yadag of Tzidkas, Givaldik Yadag of Chochmah. And yet, it was this little fault that they used to speak one against the other, they weren't Mechabed each other. They all died in war. And then the Medrash goes on to say, the time of Achol,
Everybody was saying the way they saw it. Terrible. Idolatry. And they went to war, they all won all the battles. Why? Because they had a makpod that they didn't speak against each other. They should learn how you bend your Torah. How can we understand it? What is one thing with the other? Okay, there's a chesaron here, there's no chesaron in that case. But such a difference? The David HaMelech's children, the youth in David HaMelech's time, they all died in spite of David HaMelech's feelings, and by Achav the other way? You don't know the Darati Hashem. We don't know how the Baruch Hashem feels the world. But those are his priorities. The Baruch Hashem has his priorities. The Torah has their priorities that we have to understand how to behave. The Torah is the one who guides us what to do. Just pass Pashas Pinchas. We don't understand. What happened with Pinchas? If we really think into it, it's a little confusing. He did a Maisa Kanos, and Chazal tell us that actually he was a Roider. And if Zimri would have killed him, Zimri would have been puzzled. Zimri wouldn't have been Chayav Misa for killing Pinchas. Because Pinchas was going to kill Zimri, so therefore he has a deal with him. And Chazal tell us, it's not so simple what Pinchas did. V'Araya, Moshe Rabbeinu also could have done the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu also was a God's final Talmud Chacham, he knew what to do. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu had his reasons why, maybe not. And Pinchas did it. And yet the Torah says, because of what Pinchas did, he didn't make him to be Shalom, and he became a tremendous... He became the Kohen Gadol, and not only that, he became such a person that he said, Yo'anovi, and Chazal tell us he didn't even die, never. Let him go, he's on the Tzach, and Yo'anovi is Chai. Do we understand exactly? We don't. But this is Gzeha Gozati, Gzeha Kukakti. We don't know, sure, but the priority of liberation is Gzeha. And if that case, that Pinchas, he accomplished certain things, he was Kadashim Shemayim, and he made a machor that's supposed to be done at the right moment, that's the liberation decided, that's the priority, that's what should have been done. We find in Parshas Matos, this week's Parsha about Moshe Rabbeinu, after the whole problem with Midian, the liberation told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to take the comma from Midian, destroy him. After that, you should be able to join your forefathers and you will die. So Chazal tells us an interesting thing, the Shmuel of Chaim, Shmulevi, the Mir of Hashgiach, and Eretz Yisrael. It says that after Abishai told him, the Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that after you will take the coma from Midian, you will die. It says right afterwards he went, and he went into fight into the coma to battle with Midian. So the question is, somebody receives a ticket, and he says to him, you do this and this, and afterwards you will die. So when will the person do this action? Will he try to do it Roshneller, or will he try to push it off? And that person would push it off. I was told, promised by the Rebbeinu Shalom, that I will live as long as I don't take the coma from Midian. But if I take a long time, then I'll live longer. No, Moshe Rabbeinu right away went and took the coma from Midian. Why? He could have waited longer. No. He knew what life is about, what priorities of life. The priority of life is to do Rotzon Hashem. Not to be run around the world like an ant or any animal or any... just a human being. The living life means doing what's in Hashem. To do what the Rebbeinu wants us to do, that's called living. Chalila v'chas, being in the world without doing what's in Hashem, that's not the real life. The Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live the real life, the life of doing what's in Hashem. So to do what's in Hashem, Hashem wanted me to take the coma from me. Right away I take the coma. How it's going to happen afterwards? I'm not going to be around anymore. So that's what's in Hashem. That's the priority that the Torah tells you how to behave. And yet, there's an interesting part. Afterwards, after he decided to take the coma from Midian, he told Pinchas that he should be the chief general of the war, and he did not participate. So Hazal asked a question, why not? After that, after the whole chesed that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that it's worth it to stop living in order to take the coma, to do Rotzon Hashem, so how come you're not the one who's going to lead the battle? Because, says the Chaim, because since Moshe Rabbeinu had pleasure from Midian, and he was in Midian many years ago, and Midian helped him, so it's not a kolas play for he should be the one now to go and kill Midian. He has to make sure that Midian gets destroyed, because Hashem said he'll take the coma from Midian. But he himself, he was a hanger from Midian, so he cannot be the one to lift his hand against Midian, the recent Pinchas. These are contradictory machshavas that a person has. I have to go, I don't have to go. I have to call us to do what's in Hashem. The only person who can decide that, the only way, the clear way to decide how to behave is only by following the Chazal, by following what the Torah tells us. There's another interesting thing. When Miriam died, so Moshe and I were sitting shiva.
Miriam passed away, and Moshe was in the Shiva.
All of a sudden, they get a note from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What are you sitting in Shiva for? Klal Yisrael is thirsty, they need water, there's no water right now. The whole water came because of Beer Shel Miriam. Miriam is not here, there's no water for Klal, everybody's thirsty. So they said, but we're sitting Shiva for Miriam. What do you mean you're sitting Shiva for Miriam? Oh, the Klal Yisrael is thirsty, Klal Yisrael is thirsty. Please get up, take your matzah, and get me water for Klal Yisrael. Again, there is this priority situation. I'm doing a mitzvah, and the biggest mitzvah in the world, I mean, first is to be Mechabit, and Mechabit, Miriam and Ezio, and how is Miriam and Ezio, Miriam and Ezio, whereas like Chazal tells us, it's the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, without Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have been around, he would still bring another medrash about Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Then they were doing tremendous mitzvah, not on the Chazal, that's something egoistically, Chalila, for their own, and yet Hashem says, no, the priority right now is for Klal Yisrael. And look, now you're doing a mitzvah. You're sitting Shiva and your sister. Oh, the Klal Yisrael needs the water. So please get up right now in the middle of Shiva and then go out and make sure the Klal Yisrael has water to drink. And talking about Miriam, and the end of Parshas Baal Yisrael is an interesting episode. Miriam at the time was Nagua Betzoraz. She had leprosy. And she was sent outside the Machaneh. She had to be outside the Machaneh for 7 days and 7 nights. And the Apostle tells us that Klal Yisrael, millions of people, the 600,000, that was only the men, male between 20 and 60, but the people, the younger, the older ones, the ladies, the children, there were some people say, between 5 and 6 million people. 5 and 6 million people were waiting for Miriam for 7 days and 7 nights. They wouldn't move because Miriam right now couldn't accompany them. She was outside the Machaneh. And we know in Shul how the Gaboyim have to be careful about the Inyan from Tzicha de Tzibura. It's a Shail of Hagva. Which Sefer Torah to have? We're talking about seconds. Should we take Hagva, the first Sefer Torah, the second Sefer Torah? And there's so many cases in this Medrash, in the Bate Knesset, and there's a question whether to do this or that, and always one of the main ways how to pass the Shail is what's the Tzicha de Tzibura, not to be Matiyah de Tzibur. We're talking about seconds, not to be Matiyah de Tzibur of 10 or 20, even 10 people, which is a minion. And yet we're talking about millions of people have to wait 7 days and 7 nights. How come? So Amuyim de Kisiv Sechachom, and Sif Sechachom says, why was that? Rashi brings down, because Miriam, once, many years ago, she did also a chesed, but they said, Tefachoysen Merochoyk, when Moshe Rabbeinu was still into the sea, so she waited outside. But the Tiga Vashit Nahi Asavai, she wondered what's going to happen to Moshe Rabbeinu, to her younger brother. So she stood outside the waters. She was standing outside and she wanted to see what's going to happen to her brother. So Chazal tell us, that standing outside is so choshu to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It was showed such concern. It was such a concern act that she did, to stand outside to see what's going to happen. Not that she could have physically done anything to help Moshe Rabbeinu, but just to stand from outside and to watch what's going to happen to her brother, the concern, the daiger. It was so important to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that years later when she passed away, the payment was that thousands of millions of people are going to wait for 7 days and 7 nights. And an interesting thing that Tzitzis Chachamim says, it brings down that when she was waiting, how much time was she waiting? So it brings down a time element means 20 minutes. Sure, when you speak about, you know, today we say, wait a minute, I'll call you right back. You know, your person has to be careful when you say such things. I'll call you right back. And the other one is, no, oh, you call me right back. So you're sitting and waiting, you know, for the phone call never comes. But that's besides the point. But when it says she was waiting, how long was she waiting for? So Pesiv said, come for 20 minutes she was waiting. Single fight is a 20 minute period. 20 minutes is a third of an hour. 7 days and 7 nights, if you make the version, 7 days times 60 minutes times 24 hours a day times 7 is 10,080. 10,080. And Chazal tell us that the Midah Toivo is 500 times the Midah Shoturonius. And if she was waiting for 20 minutes, the payment has to be 500 times as much. If you multiply 500 times 20 minutes, you count up to 10,080. She was waiting for 20 minutes for Moshe Rabbeinu, so she got paid 500 times as much, which is 10,000, which should have been 10,080. So why is it so much? It should have been only, it should have been, so what he explained, the 10,000 is exactly, the 10,000 is exactly, no, the 500 times 20 minutes is 10,000. But the 7 days and 7 nights is 10,080. So it says 80 more hours is because, 80 more minutes is because afterwards, after she was waiting, she also did, she called the Ochevet to take care. She did also honor my symptoms. So therefore, to pay up for that concern that she had for Moshe, Claudius waited for her for 10,080 minutes, which is amazing. Again, we wouldn't have known such a thing. We would have made another cheshbon. We would have thought priorities are maybe different. But the priorities are made up by the Torah. Chazal tell us what the priorities in life are. Chazal tell us that the Gemara in Taina says that b'shas t'chut m'bayis. So the Pirchei Kehuna stood while the fire was destroying, extinguishing the Beis Hamikdash, destroying the Beis Hamikdash, burning up the Beis Hamikdash. The Pirchei Kehuna stood up by, and they threw up the Maftechot. They threw out the keys that they were in charge of watching the Beis Hamikdash. They threw out the keys into the fire because they claimed, they felt guilty, and they felt that if the Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed, it must be that we are at fault. We, the people who hold the keys to the Beis Hamikdash, we are the ones who are supposed to be the guardians of the Beis Hamikdash. We are at fault. So they, there's an expression, you know, when someone wants to stop his job and give up his job, puts the keys on the table, he returns the keys. That's an expression that's used worldwide. Where does it come from? This is the Gemara. Everything is from Chazal. They returned the keys that they had. I think that we have to somehow also use that as a musa for ourselves. Every one of us in our lives, we all hold keys to certain situations in Klal Yisrael. Each one has a key to his family, to his neighborhood, to the shul, to the school, to the yeshiva, to the shtibul, to wherever he is involved with. Everybody has a certain key, a certain position, a key position that he holds in the community, that he helps certain things, and each one in his own way. If it's whatever the situation the communities are. So sometimes we have to think, do we do enough? Do I have responsibilities in the community? I have responsibilities for my family? Do I have responsibilities for Klal Yisrael? Do I do enough? Is it too psukim, prokim, and prokim, and feeling that some should say in the world for the tzars in Eretz Yisrael, for the matzah in Eretz Yisrael? Is that enough to do for Eretz Yisrael? The two big feelings that we say, and then I go home and go, I did enough. I said two prokim feelings. Is that enough? Or do I have to return the keys because I didn't know? It's causing these problems every day. There's a metach. There's a tremendous metach. I was once speaking to somebody in Hope, Florida. She said, how come everybody in Israel is always so nervous and always so this and always so that? So, you know, of course, if you come from outside, you don't realize. But you live in a different world. I come from Brazil. You know, very serene country, very quiet. And you come from America, my wife is from America, you know, everything's quiet, serene, in England, Baruch Hashem, you can quiet. You don't realize what it is to live in a situation where every single moment of the day, you don't know what's going to happen. Another thing happened yesterday, another individual went in that, and he took the tractor and he ran into Yidden and he hurt so many people. Every second you live, you don't know what's going to be the next moment. And it's always a question of a person is never serene. It's always difficult to be. But nevertheless, we have to do our work to be in the front and to be Moses HaTayah. The Yeshua from Klal Yisrael, that's our belief, is the Torah. The Torah way, that's what's going to be the real guardian for Klal Yisrael, to do the mitzvahs and to do Torah mitzvahs. That will be the safeguard for Klal Yisrael. So everybody has got to think more how he could help in his way. It's a Bimazik Torah, Bimazik Tzedakim, Bimazik Aniyim in Yisrael. We find out in this hospital, there's so much to do in Eretz Yisrael. But it's just to think sometimes, am I using my keys properly? I mean, maybe I could use a little more. says in the Gemara like this. Once says in Brachas Tachyut Chesem of Beis. Was once an episode we was talking about before about the Gabbat Tzedakah. Shmuel, the Amora Shmuel was a Gabbat Tzedakah. Every Friday before Shabbos, he used to be Mechalek Tzedakah to the Aniyim. After he died, after Shmuel died, so it's like the Rav mentioned before, the pushke was empty. There was nothing to be got. Shmuel wasn't there. They didn't know where the money was. So no one got the money out of Shabbos. The Aniyim didn't have money, so they went to the son of Shmuel. And they said, listen, do you know where your father kept the money? Your father passed away. but you have to be mechalek the money now, the people need it. So he says, I don't know. So, you know, people are, they started talking, you know what, maybe he's using the money, his father left the money and he doesn't want to give up the dani. Maybe Chalila the Chas, he's using the money instead of giving it to the aniyim. So of course he was very, very, that was Shmuel saying, Avuah the Shmuel passed away, Shmuel's father is the one who passed away. So Shmuel, the Helik of Shmuel, he was very it's not Shayach. Shmuel, Chalila the Chas touched money from aniyim. So it says that he went to the Beis Silo, went to the Beis Akoros, the cemetery, and he wanted to speak to his father to find out where the money was. He spoke to the Malachim, and he wanted to know, you know, maybe you know where my father is. Where is my father? So they said, where's your father? So he said, Avuah de Shmuel. So they said over here, his name was Abba Bar Abbo. The name of his father was called Abba, and his grandfather was also called Abba. So it was Abba Bar Abbo. So they said, do you know where he asked the Malachim, the Shomis, you know where Abba is? So they said, the Malachim said, there's a lot of Abbas here in the Beis HaKoros. She says, yeah, but I'm looking for Abba Bar Abba. So the grandfather was also called Abba. So they said, no, there's a lot of Abba Bar Abba here too. So they said, they are looking for Abba Bar Abba. Who are the Shmuel? Abba Bar Abba is Shmuel's father. That is only one. Ah, so then the Gemara says, while this conversation was going on, he saw Levi. He saw the Mishonah from Levi. Levi was just Harus, Shmuel the Levi. And the Gemara brings a lot of time to discuss the arguments between Shmuel and Levi. So he saw Levi. So he says, what are you doing here? How come you're not in the Beis Medrash? The Gemara is taking a shear now, it's the time of the shear. And how come you're not in the shear? So he said, Levi, no, I'm not in the shear. Because when I was in this world, I didn't go to my Rebbe's shear. He had a Rosh Hashiva called Rav Asaf. And sometimes he gave a shear, and then I didn't go to the shear. I didn't go to the shear, so it came a shamayim. Like we said before, there's no, in Ephes, Amoyim Be'ivet. There's no things that go by, everything is recorded. So if you didn't go to Rebbe's shear in this world, and you made him feel bad, you come to shamayim, you want to go to the burning of shear, the doors are closed. You can't come here now either. So he was very hurt, Shmuel. He was Shmuel that for the bizoyim from his chavrusa. He felt the anguish. He felt the pain from his chavrusa. So now going back to the discussion with his father. And when his father saw his father, so he saw his father was smiling on one side, and he was upset on the other. You know, like he had a double expression on his face. He was happy and he was sad. So he asked his father, why are you happy? You look so happy, you look so joyful. He says, because I have nachas from you. Because Bashomayim, we very much hold of you. I see what you're holding, Bashomayim. Bashomayim, we are reckoned with. So we respect it. So therefore I feel nachas, I feel well. So Abba, so how come you, in the other hand, you feel distressed, you feel a little down? He says, because soon you're going to come and join me. You're going to come to Shemayim, you're going to pass away soon. So then he was like in a quandary. What should he do now? He had a situation where he could ask his father what to do. At the end of the sugya, of course, the Gemara says, he asked his father where the money is, but that's not the point of what we're trying to bring up. So he had now opportunity to speak to his father and ask him something. So any one of us would have learned the Gemara, and we would have been in that position. What would we have asked from his father? Tata, you b'shamayim now. You have nachas, and you say that b'shamayim, they respect me, or sort of, they recognize my situation. Why don't you ask you know, for another point, in 10 years, under 20 years, because Yomim, what did he ask from his father? Please go b'shamayim and ask, he should take Levi into the Beis Medrash. I can't take his pain. I can't take the fact that he's not let into the shul. It's my harusa. Make sure that he goes into the shia. That was bothering Shmuel. So was bothering the stealing from his friend. And that's what we have to think about always. Is this kufa from Avelis, if it's in the question of the Sfira, if it's in the Sfira, on the second base Amigdash, if it was the question of Sfira that we mentioned before, the Avelis, Tamidei Rabbi Akiva. We have to always be thoughtful of what we're doing, how are we behaving towards our Haverim, our human beings. And when we mentioned before from Miriam, there she was careful with the feeling of what's happening to Moshe, and the way Moshe and Aaron were required to do what? To respect. And to know the story of Claudius or the needs of Claudius. Those are the things that we have to always have in mind. When Claudius left Eretz Yisrael, that's Mitzrayim, he says, beginning of Pashas B'Shalach, V'chamushim, Yad Zu Yisrael Meretz Yisrael. V'chamushim, so Poshe Rashi left. What does V'chamushim mean? One-fifth left Mitzrayim. One fifth left in Israel. Only 20% left, because 80% died in Makas Choshech. Every 5 Jews in Mitzrayim, 4 died in Makas Choshech, and only one, the fifth, is the one who left.
80% perished in Mitzrayim, and only 20% left.
As it says, Hamushim Yotzei. So the question is like this. Okay. 80% died in Mitzrayim. The parents, the fathers. What happened to their children? What happened to them? So the Targum Yenisei ben Haziel says, Shabbat is a day. When they left Mitzrayim, so each one of those, the fifth, the guy that left, when he went out of Mitzrayim, he took his children, his family, plus another four mishpachas. That's called the Chamushim. The Chamushim means each one went out with five groups of children. You know, his group plus another four groups of little orphans that their parents have died. And then I once mentioned a marshal. You know, sometimes we go out on a vacation. I was always vacation time in Europe. And then sometimes the person, you know, he's filling up his van and his wife is ready in the car and the children in the car. And they go in five times into the house again to take out the sandwiches and take out, you know, the cooler, the thing with the water and the juice and, you know, with the ice. And they go in again and they forgot another thing and then the balls and then it's a labor day. And then the van is getting full and then the neighbor next door calls him and says, Yanko, you know, you're going out on a vacation to see your children. Could you take out my little kid also along with one of my boys? All right. Okay, I'll do that. We'll take one of his boys. A few minutes later, one of the neighbor on the other side calls him and says, you know what, Yanko, here you're going. You're going in with you with the family. You would take him also my son? Well, let me think for a second, you know. He calls his wife, what should we say? They said, okay, all right. 5 minutes later, a third neighbor calls. So he goes back home and says, his wife, we're not going to the T.O. That's too much. We're not going. He's going for a few hours, going to the park, 4 or 5 hours. And the third neighbor asks us to date another kid for those few hours to play with his own children. It may be too much already for him. Not the question of the money that he's going to spend on another sandwich. It's the idea of the responsibility. He doesn't want to bother us to buy with the 2-3 other children. It's up for him. He's talking about climbing somewhere out of Mitzrayim into the Midbar for years. And each family took along with him another four families of children of Yisraelim. That's called the Chamushim. That's called the Schus of Tzadis. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. It's printed the side of the Chamushim. The Yerushalmi says, even when out of Mitzrayim, they were out of Mitzrayim doing they did a good deed. What was a good deed? That was a good deed. They went out of Mitzrayim doing plenishy with mitzvahs of chesed and tzedakah. That's what they went out of Mitzrayim. It's a minor part, right? Let's finish off with one verse. It says when Yaakov Avinu met Yosef. Yaakov was coming out of Mitzrayim. Yosef went to greet his father. It was a momentous occasion when they met. Very, very rishi, very rishi psukim when you think into it. And Yaakov was going down after all these years of thinking that he lost never his child. And it wasn't just a question of losing Yosef. He knew that Klal Yisrael was going to be built only if you have 12 shvatim. Without Yosef, you don't have Klal Yisrael. It was an agony time, very difficult time for Yaakov in all these years. And finally, he's coming down to meet Yosef. And Yosef, of course, he loved his father so much. And it was a tremendous occasion to come back and meet his father. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayero Elo. You know, they got together, and it says, Vayero Elo, it says in the Pasuk. He showed himself to him. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Yosef Le Yankov. Yosef, the Chavizin Tzatatan. Yosef, he showed himself to his father. So the question is, what do you mean he showed himself to his father? I mean, they met, no? They both showed each other. What does it mean that Rashi is stressing here that Yosef showed himself to his father? So Rav Leib Hoffman said in the Sefer Yal, the Rav Shlomo Shradon always brings down. Well, we mentioned before the question of tear away, priorities in life. Here's Yosef coming to meet his father. I have two feelings. I have two feelings in my heart. One feeling I have, and I miss my father very much. I want to hug my father, I want to kiss my father, I want to embrace my father. I miss him so much. And the other hand is that feeling, my father misses me so much as well. He misses me. He wants to see me. His whole life depends on Yosef HaTzadik and the future of Klal Yisrael. So he put aside, he shelved his own personal feelings. It was a vision in Tzintaten. And he stood in front of him and said, Tzintaten, here I am. And I want you to enjoy those minutes. I want you to absorb this meeting that we have, not my feeling, not my own personal egoistic feeling that I want to meet with you, but I'm standing in front of you because you should enjoy this moment, that you should be able to accept and to see
and to accept me and to hug me. Not because he doesn't have that feeling. He has it, but he wants completely to divorce himself from his own personal egoistic feeling, and he wants his father to enjoy at this moment.
That was the godless of Yosef HaTzadik. Then I heard another shot from Shimshon and Pinkas in front of his mouth. Yosef HaTzadik knew that one of the main concerns from Yaakov Avinu was, how is Yosef behaving in his life? Is he standing in the regular darga? In the situation where when he left the house, is he the same Yosef that he was when he was at home? Is he the same Yosef that has learned the Torah way and behaves the Torah way? Or Chalila Vechas, maybe in the environment of Mitzrayim, in the Memphis Shayatumo, perhaps he went down a little bit in his Madrego. This was the concern that Yaakov Avinu had. So Yosef knew that was the concern that Yaakov had. So when he met his father, he stood in front of his father in attention. And he said, Tate, cook off me. Look at me. You'll be able to look at me, you'll be able to see. You know, the same son that left you many years ago. I didn't go down on a yoda. I didn't go down on a millimeter of Darga Vuchnias. I'm the same son that you hoped that I would be staying. And then there'll be a future for Klausdor. This is what he speaks in front of his father, and he says, Father, look at me, and you'll be able to see that I'm the same Yeshua that he wants to say. He feels he used to say, there's a pasuk that says, Sholosh Yegolim, and Yeroya called the Chulcho. 3 times a year he has to go to the Kosh Malavi to the Beis Hamikdash, and he has to, Yeroya called the Chulcho, and that's the Chvaizen, so the Gaboinish, we have to show ourselves to the Gaboinish Shalala. So Rav Shimshon and Pinkas Rilach explained that when Ayid comes to Eretz Yisrael, like if Ayid comes to the Sholosh Yegolim to Yerushalayim, the function is to stand in front of the Rebbeinu and say, Tate Kukof me, please look at me. Am I the Jew that you wanted me to be? Am I the Jew that I'm behaving in the real time away? That's what he does when he comes here to Yerushalayim. Sholosh Yegolim brings his kabbonah, he does his mitzvah sayayim, of course. But part of the mitzvah is to stand in front of the Rebbeinu 3 times a year versus to do it every moment of his life. But we're talking about Sholosh Yegolim, the tennis, Madgish, emphasizes 3 times a year, Oracles of Kucho, a person to stand in front of the Rebbeinu and say, Tate, Abba, Father, please, look at me, am I the person that you want me to be? And this, I think, is our message. And I think this is the goal of every Yid. We all have to behave in a way. And if we behave in a way of a tail way, we'll all be able to see sometime, eventually we'll be able to look at the Rebbeinu and say, Tate, Kukof Mir.